Welcome back to Sci-Fi with Jesse Mercury. This week we're going to continue our discussion with fellow sci-fi musician Johnny Unicorn. We got real weird in this episode. We talked about all sorts of stuff. Captain EO, robotic sex partners, the relationship of drugs and music and science fiction, and even a little bit of the Dave Matthews Band. So stick around. Take a listen. It's going to be real fun. The highlight of the episode is John playing me some songs on the acoustic guitar. You do not want to miss it. I hope you enjoy. One thing I really wanted to ask you about while you're here, since we're doing this sci-fi podcast, your song Science is one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
And it's, my impression of that song is that it is kind of a look at the relationship between man and machine.
Can we go back 1 second?
Yes.
Will you remember where you are?
Yes.
When you first approached me and said, can I play drums in your band? I the first thing I said was, can you play in 9?
Yeah.
Because of Science, the song Science. That was like the hardest thing we were playing at that moment. That's it.
And I said yes.
And you said yes. And I was like, okay. Let's do it.
And you looked at me like I wasn't telling the truth.
I don't believe you, but...
Yeah. I showed you. I don't know. I grew up listening to Dave Matthews Band, you know? That's my dirty little secret.
Does he...
Oh, so much, yeah.
Dude, that doesn't need to be a dirty secret. He's a good musician.
He's a great musician.
I don't know anything about his catalog, but I know that the songs that came on the radio, a lot of them are really cool, especially like after like the really big hit period of the mid-90s.
Yeah.
There's some later stuff, later 90s.
Yeah. I think it's like 1997.
Cool song that came on the radio, and every time it came, I was like, oh, cool, that song. I'll never buy the album, though, because I don't want anyone to know.
Well, I don't know what it is, why there's a weird stigma. I think I have a theory about that, but Dave Matthews' album...
It's because of bro shame, and people don't like bros, and people think that bros listen to Dave Matthews.
Is that it? Because that's so weird.
That's my simplified version of my interpretation of how people think about it.
My theory was that, I think you're right, I think my theory is wrong. My theory was that, like, Dave Matthews went through this period, like his best album, in my opinion, is Before These Crowded Streets, which is one of my all-time favorite albums ever.
When's that?
Like, I think 97, I want to say.
What's on that? Was there a hit song on that album?
The hit was Don't Drink the Water. A song called Stay also hit the radio a little bit.
There was like a, there's like a ballady sort of a jazzy sort
of...
Oh,
yeah. No, that song was on that album. It's Crush. Ba-doom doom doo 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 doo. Ba-doom doo 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 boo boo. That song.
How do the lyrics line? Go? Sing it.
It's like... Oh man, I don't know this is all. Let me think.
If there's
it's like crazy,
yes, that's the one. Okay, yes,
yeah, that song's on that album. That's an incredible album. I think you'd really like it.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite albums ever. And then after that, he came out with Every Day, which was like his episode one, where he kind of went like hardcore pop, but as Dave Matthews, and it was
drum
just
samples.
It was weird.
It's like samples.
There was still mostly live drums on that album.
Everybody in the late 90s
switched
to using like hip-hop drums. Yeah. Rock bands used hip-hop drums.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone
did that. I mean, that band did it.
Everybody
not necessarily
in American,
that album.
In the North American music did that.
Yeah. There was stuff on their album Standoff that was like sampled. But they did that album with Eminem's producer.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Dr. Dre?
No. A different one. A producer who had worked with Eminem. But anyway, so they came out with this like really poppy album, and it was probably their most... I mean, it was very commercially successful, but kind of alienated their fan base. So,
see, that's the fan... What, if you're a fan, then why you get so alienated when somebody tries something new?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I didn't...
Aren't you interested in their... How they're gonna do art next?
Yeah, I kind of liked that album. You know, I didn't feel about that album the way I felt about episode one, at all.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it still. I felt like they were doing something new, and I was kind of into it. I liked the song When the World Ends, but as I've gotten older, I mean, I haven't listened to Dave Matthews in quite a while. Like as I've gotten older, I felt like
I don't know. There's like a very particular quality to it that really fit in a certain time of my life, and now not so much. And it's not that it's bad. It's just maybe I just listened to so much of it. I think I just kind of like maxed out on it. I followed him very seriously for a long time.
I think you've made a transition from swing tempo to straight tempo.
Interesting. I think you're right.
That's Dave Matthews, is, you know, and then now it's like robot, robot. That's your
yeah.
That's your thing now. It's very, very mechanical robot. And very craft work and very other things.
Very, you know? Synth pop. Yeah.
Synth pop. Yeah. Men Without Hats.
Men Without Hats. So Men Without Hats and Michael Jackson have always been like two of my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
And I think I just finally just gave in and let myself do that, because I'd always kind of held myself back from doing that.
Michael Jackson's cool because that's like R&B that's super like straight.
Hmm.
It's really robotic.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's electro. It's cool.
I don't know if anyone has ever been better than Michael Jackson or ever will be better. I think that Captain EO is the best thing that's ever been made.
I think Michael Jackson, I think Prince could possibly compete.
You think so?
Yeah.
I respect that. I disagree, but I respect it. Have you seen Captain EO?
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
I saw it in 3D.
Me too.
Yeah.
Captain EO is...
I wish they would bring it to the, you know, Seattle Center.
It's literally the best thing that could have possibly ever happened. It's a movie produced by George Lucas, directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
Starring Michael Jackson, with special effects by ILM.
Yeah.
With original music by Michael Jackson, produced by Quincy Jones. It's a science fiction short film that was filmed in 3D and was on at a theater at Disneyland. And when I was a kid, I lived in San Diego, so I went to Disneyland every summer. And saw Captain EO every summer. And it was just the best thing I'd ever
seen.
That
was the best thing about...
Yeah.
Well, I went to Disney World. Because I was on the Show east off. Side. I was on... It's a bigger one.
It's bigger. It's better.
Land is a lot of lands. There's only one world.
Yeah.
No, I went to Disney World because I was on the east side of the country when I was growing up. And that's when I went to Florida to visit my grandparents. They would sometimes take us to Disney World.
Yeah.
And Captain EO was the coolest thing.
The coolest thing.
There's rides, you know, I was never into rides that much. I kind of got into some rides, but not that much.
Can I tell you a secret?
Watching a 3D movie is cool. What?
The whole reason that I wanted to be Jesse Mercury and, like, become a science fiction pop star is Captain EO. Like, that was it.
Okay.
Like, I am shooting for Captain EO when I make music videos. Like, when I made Time Child... Like, Captain EO was a reference.
You told me your favorite Michael Jackson song was from Captain EO. We are here to change the world. That song?
I love that song.
And are you loud enough? Am I loud enough right now?
Yeah, sure.
I'm looking at the waveform. You're gonna master this, right?
I'll do something. I'll make it work.
You're gonna process this through all your fancy machinery.
I will do that.
Okay.
I will make you sound like
good
Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, you can record. We can re-record. You can.
I'll replace you with drum samples. It's just me, and then whenever you talk to you, doo 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 da. It's gonna be really cool.
Do you think the technology exists that we could that you could say a word, and you could have a trigger that recognizes the syllable, and will trigger the correct syllable in its vast database of sounds,
and like trigger it, replace it with like someone else's voice.
Yeah,
I think we're close to that.
I am going to the store, and then you,
and then it's Denzel Washington. I'm going to the store.
I was thinking more for musical, but yeah, anything.
Oh,
yeah,
I just want to sound like Denzel Washington because that guy has a sexy voice.
And Denzel, one of my favorite. You know, this is an untalked about movie, Virtuosity. Remember that movie?
I don't.
Denzel Washington, and there was a, somebody came up with a technology to, well, first of all, there's AI. They came up with personalities that could be stored in a computer, and then somebody came up with a technology to bring them to life, and it was designed at first as like a way to have a sex partner.
Wow.
So you have this personality that like, is embodied in this like robot form that's like that can do things, and then what happens is they somebody was also, he was playing with another character that was based on serial killers. Like, they take all the personality profiles of all these different serial killers and put them all into one character. Sid 6.7.
You're blowing my mind.
You've never heard of this
movie? I've never heard of this movie. This sounds great.
So that guy comes to life.
Uh-huh.
And now he's like all the serial killers combined ever. And he's super smart and he's like a robot.
Who plays that?
I can't remember. It was somebody who was famous. Maybe still is famous. Probably somebody who everyone would recognize his name, and I can't remember who it is. Some dude.
I'm picturing...
like Russell Crowe or somebody like that. You know, some guy who has a square face.
I'm picturing the guy who played Wash on Firefly.
No, it's not him.
Alan Tudyk. I love Alan Tudyk. No. I'm picturing him because of AI. Not AI, because of... what's the Will Smith movie where Alan Tudyk played the robot?
I, Robot.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I really liked. I really liked that movie.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Denzel Washington has to fight the computer man.
The computer...
Sid 6.7.
Killer man.
Am I getting... Yeah, this is the right... Yeah, I'm not mixing this up with Simone.
I've seen that. Okay. Al Pacino and the fake girl?
Yeah.
I've seen that. I liked it.
I enjoyed that.
That's the guy who directed Truman Show.
Okay, now This was a divergence from what we were talking about.
What we were talking about was science and where you, like what that song is about to you.
Is that the question?
That was the question. So science,
I'm sorry.
I know several people that are Johnny Unicorn fans.
You put a drink in me and I'll just keep talking.
That's awesome. what else will you do?
Not that.
Oh.
I would do anything for love.
Huh. That was good. Did you ever watch Roundhouse as a kid? A little bit.
That wasn't really my speed, but it came on like after something else, and I watched a little bit of it.
There was an episode...
That was like... What was that? That was like a sketch count... That was like...
No, I'm thinking of All That, not Roundhouse.
All That, yeah.
All That.
Not really.
All That.
Still, I'll probably watch a couple episodes. That's where Kenan and Kel were introduced.
Yeah, right? I think so. Now, I can't remember if I'm talking about Roundhouse or All That. One of those
probably
shows.
Probably All That.
I think it was All That.
Sketch comedy?
Yeah, it was sketch comedy on...
Children's on sketch SNCC, comedy.
Which was...
Saturday Night Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon, yeah. And there was a sketch on that show where...
So I was a little older than you, so I was like in my... I was like... early teenager when that stuff was happening, and I was like, I'm not really a kid anymore, I can't watch this stuff.
And I was like,
so you were like right at the right age.
I was at the peak.
Yeah,
I was about to turn into a teenager.
Yeah.
But there was an episode where one of the characters, I don't even remember who it was singing as Meatloaf, and they sang that song, and the lyrics were, I would do anything for love, but I won't eat meat.
Wow. Yeah, All That.
Yeah, All That.
That's why we have Kenan Thompson.
And thank God for that.
And you know, for a while, Kel Mitchell.
For a while we had Kel. Do you remember on the Kenan and Kel show when they went to trial because they found a screw in the can of tuna?
No, I never watched that show. I didn't watch those shows. I saw like bits of it because something else I wanted to watch was on.
Wow. I watched those shows.
Yeah.
That was my childhood.
I watched Ren and Stimpy.
Star Trek and Nickelodeon. I never watched Ren and Stimpy as a kid. I watched it a little bit as an adult, and I really liked it. But as a kid, it freaked me the fuck out.
As an adult, I hated it.
Really?
But I still love the drawings. But some of the... I don't know. You know. John Crisfalusi. He's a dirty, dirty man.
Who is that?
He's the creator of Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, yeah. Dirty man. Yeah.
Fired after like a year into the show.
Wasn't
the creator, and they continued making it for years.
Really?
Without him. Yeah.
Interesting. I thought it was weird. Aaron Sorkin on West Wing. Well, he left because he couldn't stop doing coke, I think. Something like that. He left
after season 4. Who can
blame
him, huh? I kid. I don't know. I'm joking.
Do you want to do some coke? I have never done coke.
No, okay. That's fine. Let's talk about drugs. We're in Seattle. Remember that year that everyone became a pothead?
Man, I was thinking about this earlier today. I don't have any marijuana. I live in Seattle, goddammit. I should have some marijuana in the house, you know?
According to federal law, it's still illegal.
Yeah, whatever. what are they going to do? I
you do what
we,
you want.
We
I
don't
care.
We don't endorse drugs.
I don't care if
but
I.
But if you want to do drugs, just do drugs. Who gives a shit? I don't know. I don't endorse drugs. I don't drugs are fine. I don't endorse addiction. I don't endorse things that stop people from doing their daily lives. I think that most people could probably try drugs and be fine, you know, and still have a daily life.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
But I think that the...
I agree with that.
I think there is the danger of people's lives falling apart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that because it's true. It is true that people's lives fall apart. Yeah. And that is a good enough reason to not try drugs for most people, you know?
Sure.
If you have a good brain and you trust yourself and you're curious... I'm going to cut all this out. I don't want to talk about drugs in my podcast.
Yeah. That's fine. But I feel like there is probably some relationship between drugs and sci-fi.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to cut this out now
because
it's not interesting.
Because I don't want to get too much into that.
No, get into it. I'm really interested now. Tell me. Do you write like lyrics and stuff stoned?
No.
No?
Not usually. I don't want to talk too much about that. My mom might be listening to this.
Probably not. Maybe. My mom will be listening to this. You know, I
from time to time, yes, legally, I have done that, but that's just being tipsy, you know.
Yeah.
Being tipsy and walking to the store.
There is a stigma around it that is changing, I think.
Yeah.
There's no stigma about being drunk, you know? People think it's cool. And I think that that's stupid. I think the idea that it's cool to be drunk is stupid.
Okay, but here... Having a lot of drinks can get really bad after a while.
Yeah, totally.
And so can smoking a lot of pot.
Sure.
For some people.
For me...
It can turn into anxiety and all this stuff.
Absolutely.
And that can be like... That can be really... Really annoying.
Yeah. I only enjoy smoking pot like 3 times a month, I think. And then I really enjoy it. But if I do it more than that, I don't enjoy it. Because it's hard. I don't know. I do so much every day. Like, I just have so much to do all the time. Most of it is self-inflicted. But... I just always feel like I have music to make, you know, and I have things to get done. And sometimes smoking pot will help in that. Sometimes it will hinder it. And most of the time I'm not willing to take the risk, you know, that it will be one of those times where I just don't want to work on anything. Sometimes I'll get stoned and I will like sit and mix and I'll just do the most wonderful thing, you know. Asteroid Field. I worked on Asteroid Field pretty stoned. In that situation, it really helped because I was working with these analog synthesizers. I was just in this wonderful place where everything was working.
It's the 70s.
I was in the 70s. I was in like... I mean, that song is about Empire Strikes Back, and I was in the asteroid field, and it was wonderful. But sometimes, you know, I'll like smoke, and I'm like, yeah, man, I just want to watch MasterChef, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not helpful.
Well, I don't use it for writing. That's not.
Mm-hmm.
But some, you know, you might get inspired at the just like any time. But I think what I want to do in music is to make something that's psychedelic, or that like triggers weird things in your brain that make you go, "Oh, cool! That's an echo thing. Like that's cool in any state of mind, you know."
Oh, I love that. Do that. You succeed in
that's,
that.
And that's what I like to hear.
Yeah,
all the time, you know. I like psychedelic music.
Yeah.
I like it when the world feels weird, you know. So and music like really does that for me. So
yeah.
That's in my opinion what the relationship is. And then sci-fi is I don't know, you know, you talk to somebody, you know people are they stereotype of a stoned person, they have crazy ideas that they talk about. It's like, man, wouldn't it be crazy if you know, this or that, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, the audience knows what I'm talking about, I think.
The audience is stoned.
I have no... Yeah.
They know what you're talking about.
But at this point, I could be saying anything. And those are the kind of things... Those are the kind of ideas that are in sci-fi. It's like a level of thinking that's like... Once you forget about all the mundane stuff because your brain has been altered slightly and you feel like you have a different perspective a little bit, sometimes you have a weird idea and it reminds me of... You can cut all this out if you want.
No, this is awesome. I agree with you. This is exactly what I wanted to talk about.
I'm not trying to endorse drugs. This isn't like a...
Well, you're getting to the root of why I love science fiction. Sometimes doing drugs will give you a alternative view on your life. I think that science fiction does that also, you know? Like, a good sci-fi story will say, like, what if your life was like this? What would happen? Yeah. And then it just completely switches something in your brain, and you realize, oh my god, my life would be so different if you changed this one thing. And I think that that is incredibly valuable. I read this great book by... I've read several amazing books by Philip K. Dick, one of my favorite authors. The one that really stuck with me was Counter Clock World, where at some point in the future, time stops going forward and starts going backwards. So everyone starts getting younger, and then your life ends when you're conceived, which is a very cool concept.
Wait a second. By itself. Your life ends when you're conceived?
Yeah.
Is he a pro-lifer?
I don't know. Your life ends when you're born.
Okay.
When you're conceived is before that, I guess. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But
how do you get unconceived? That's what I want to know. What's the act behind that?
So I already thought that was just like the coolest idea. Really starting to think about it, and he just fleshed it out very well in the book.
Yeah.
But the moment that really put it over the top for me was when he started talking about in the future there's this new religion that is, you know, unlike any religion that we have today. There's a new religious leader in the future who starts something new, like Islam or like, you know, Christianity, like a Jesus or a Muhammad.
Yeah.
And everybody is waiting for his day when he is born, basically, because the day of his death is approaching as we're going backwards, so they know he's going to come back to life. So all of a sudden their religious leader is going to come back. And that was when I was like, wow, this is really great sci-fi. I mean, what are the implications of Jesus coming back to life because time is going backwards? Like, and my mind exploded, and I start to think about everything in a different way. And it's a mind-bending, mind-altering experience as much as doing drugs is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe not quite as much, but, you know, close.
That's exactly... I mean, that's what art is. That art is a drug. That's what I think. I would say that any kind of art is a kind of, I mean, not literally a drug, because it's not like going into your body and affecting your whatever.
But maybe it is. Maybe it is literally doing that. I mean, we're talking about
a
mind-altering substance, right?
Yeah.
I would argue that music can be a mind-altering substance.
Right. But
stories can be a mind-altering substance.
But it's altering it by... with your own... your own inner things are doing the altering. It's not the...
Right.
The music isn't going in there and doing it itself. It's going in there and affecting something that's going to, like,
so are decide drugs. To do... So is marijuana. Marijuana is going into your body. It's affecting something inside of you and changing the way you perceive.
I agree with you, and I think you can make the argument that it's pretty much the same kind of a thing, I'm just saying, like, physically speaking, it's not...
I think
it's not a substance going into you and...
The difference is that it doesn't have to. You have to be open to it. When you listen to... when you listen to music that's, like, very complex...
You gotta believe.
You do have to believe. It's like a super, like, Peter Pan, like, Hook moment, you know?
Right.
Like, I believe in you, Peter, you know?
Yeah.
Which is... It's one of my favorite movies. Right. Hook. Have you seen Hook?
Yeah. But I don't remember it. I saw it when I was 12.
Steven Spielberg has, like, come out and said that he didn't think it was a good movie, and that's bullshit.
Did he make that movie?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
He's on a roll, man.
Yeah, he's great.
Then he did Jurassic Park and Schindler's List.
Oh, man.
And the Flintstones all in one year.
He didn't do the Flintstones.
He produced it or something. His name was on it.
Yeah.
I remember that year, 1993.
That's a big year.
Shit.
Man.
And I guess Hook was 92 or something.
Yeah. But, I do believe that really good music has the potential to alter your mind. And I also think that really good sci-fi has the potential to alter your mind. So when you put the two together, you come up with, like, a really powerful formula for really touching and affecting someone. And I'm kind of cheating because I'm writing about things that people already know about. Well, it's not cheating. It's just this is my formula. You know, I am writing original sci-fi stories that go into a lot of my music. But I'm also doing a lot of stuff where, like, I wrote a song about E.T. I wrote a song about, you know, Empire Strikes Back, where I am trying to capture the feeling of seeing The Empire Strikes Back for the first time. I'm trying to capture the feeling of being a kid and seeing that and just being changed by it, you know, because it changed me as a person the first time I saw that movie. And, like, the same with E.T., the same with Star Trek The Next Generation, like, all these songs that I've written about, same with 2001. And it's just, like, it's been a very powerful experience. It's been, like, changing my mind as I've been working on it. And I hear that in your music, too. I absolutely do. And, you know, being a part of your band and, like, being involved in that and, like, making it come to life is very exciting. It's very cool.
Yeah. I agree. Whatever you said, I agree with that.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
So, I have to get the answer from you.
What?
What is Science about? Tell me about Science, the song Science.
Oh, the song? Oh, yeah. That was like a tongue-in-cheek sort of... I don't know how that came about. That was just me being wanting to talk about what's possible now with science without doing any research about it whatsoever.
Okay.
I was like, I heard somewhere, some rumor somewhere that somebody was able to grow, you know, organs whatever the line was. We can
grow a human being without a head for organ transplant.
Right. Somebody somewhere on some
radio. Because I'm a fan.
I heard somewhere that somebody was developing the ability to, like, grow organs for, then, you know. And I think people are trying to do that. I don't know if they have succeeded in that or not. But
it's fascinating. I mean, it is science fiction. It's like living inside of science fiction, but it's real.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then, the chorus is talking about how no matter what we try to do, the universe is going to keep us in our place.
Really? Because, what are the words in the chorus?
Understand that underground and overhead the earth controls us now.
Overhead the earth controls. Da 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 da.
But given time, the human mind will find a way to get around it.
Oh.
Now they're not going to find a way to like overcome it necessarily. They'll circumvent.
Yeah,
you can defer the fate. Your fate. You know, we're all gonna die eventually. Of, you know, no matter how long the human race goes on, there's gonna be there's only so much energy in the universe. It's gonna like dissipate, and eventually there's not gonna, you know, nothing's gonna be able to survive at some point. Billions of years, trillions of years from now, however long that is, right?
Yeah.
So, but until then, I think. You know, people might be able to move to another planet if this one gets too bad, or we'll be able to, if we can make it that far, you know.
Yeah. That's great. I've never put that together. I mean, I've played that song
just,
with you.
That was sort of just like, people will try to adapt. People are good at adapting.
Yeah.
And if people keep working together, then we'll be able to adapt as a species.
I think about that a lot. I mean...
But we'll never be able to win against nature. That's the...
Yeah. Winning against nature, it's the wrong attitude. You got to work with nature.
Yeah. I don't care what Steely Dan says.
That's great. I've played that song with you so many times, and I never picked that up. And it's really cool to hear that.
Okay.
I love that song, you know. It's the song that made me want to play drums with you in the first place. It's been really interesting to come back and play with you again after a couple of years apart, because I've changed tremendously as a musician. You know, I've played in Mugatu for years now, and Mugatu is just all about catharsis and about, you know, like rock and sweat and, you know, just being your ultimate self in the moment. And it's not as much about the music as it is about the emotion and the power of what you're doing. And your music is very complex and, like, very technical. And there is...
To me, there's an amount of catharsis in that.
Oh, absolutely. When you get it, there's a catharsis in that. It's a different
type. It's sort of like those religious things where people, like, memorize the entire religious text and they say it. from start to finish.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know what that's like. I've never done that, but
it seems, I'm with you.
It feels like that.
I'm with you.
It's like you learn a bunch of notes.
When I play companionship with you, that song, I know it, you know. It's like inside of me. But it's a 15-minute long song with dozens and dozens of changes. And because I know it, my body just does it. And there's like an amazing aspect to that where, you know, you just kind of learn it to the point that it's in your muscle memory. And it kind of shows you what your muscle memory can do.
Yeah.
Where like Mugatu, the songs are a minute and a half long. So
yeah,
muscle memory doesn't really enter into it because it's just all so simple.
Yeah.
But there's a, because it's simple, you can be more like flamboyant and in the moment than you could be.
I used to play only my simple stuff because of all the people I play with, I'm like the least able to like play lots of virtuosos type stuff. So
that's bullshit.
Well, I mean,
you're better than you think you are.
I know that I can play the instruments, but if I'm by myself, it's really hard for me to do a epic prog rock, really complicated song.
Mm. Yeah.
When I have my synthesizer thing, that's when I got Naomi and you, and then Max and now Chris and Audrey and all these people to help. They can do all the hard work.
Yeah.
I've always just wanted to do the easy work so I can be flamboyant and ridiculous, but also have the music be complicated.
Mm.
But when it was just me, I usually picked my easiest songs, and that's why I play River Man, and if you hear that song, that's like a song, we can play that song without rehearsing.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, and it sounds great because it's so easy. And that's really satisfying in a different way.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I can just play the chords and it sounds good, and now I can just like dance around and act goofy and
yeah.
That's really fun.
There's something beautiful about simple music. I mean, that's something I learned from Mugatu, where when the music is simple, you can really focus on your connection to the other players. So we've got to the three piece. It's me, Dan, and Barton, and we are just so locked in together that we could play something that's one note over and over and have it be interesting because we are just like in that note together.
Yeah,
it's something I've never experienced before. I mean, I always took myself too seriously as a musician when I was younger. Like when I was, you know, when I was releasing stuff under my own name, I took myself very seriously. And then when I became someone else, when I took on a stage name, I was able to take myself a little bit less seriously and really get my priorities straight. My priority is that this music be fun and interesting and entertaining. I am an entertainer, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm not entertaining people, then I am failing. And I learned all that from playing in this band that's just so simple. But the beauty of the complexity that happens within that simplicity is really stunning to me. It's something that I will like cherish for the rest of my life, because Mugatu is coming to an end when Barton's moving away.
Right.
But then coming back to playing with you, where the music is truly complicated, I'm trying to find the simplicity within it, and it's been really satisfying. It's been really fun. Like the last rehearsal we had where we played the Companionship, it felt easy, and I think that...
Well, at its heart, that's a simple song. It just has a lot of parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Has a couple of like weird, odd changes, but most of it's just really driving...
That's true.
...repeatable stuff, you know?
You're right. I mean, it's 15 minutes long, but that doesn't mean it's complicated. It just means that it's long.
Yeah.
It means that there's a lot of parts that are not necessarily super complicated in and of themselves, but there's a sort of... like a, almost like a mantra state that I get into when I play it, because I'm not thinking about what's next, because my body will tell me what's next. I'm just in the moment of what's happening, and then I'll just change when it happens.
That's my goal for playing music, is to get into that state.
Yeah.
where I'm like, oh, the music's doing this thing, and I'm just like going along with it. I'm riding the flow, you know.
Yeah.
It's like being outside your body or something.
Yeah. And music does that in a way that nothing else does.
Yeah.
For sure. This has been so much fun. I am having like so much fun. I want to ask you to play Science.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the song you want me to play?
I want to hear Science. We've been talking about it all night.
Sure.
So I wanted
I think I can remember it.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking before about what you would play, because I want you to play something. And we were talking about maybe doing a River Song, but I just want to hear...
No, Science is good. Nice.
I just want to sit here and listen to you play me something.
Because I never played on acoustic guitar. So
yeah, cool. Let's do it. All right. So in the first podcast, which was split into two episodes, me and Audrey sang a song together at the end, and it was a magical moment at the end of the night. So I really wanted to continue that with you singing something for us.
Okay. You're going to sing along with me?
I am not. I'm just going to sit here and listen to you play.
Good, because I don't remember you ever having a singing part in this song.
I don't have a singing part in this song. If I did, I would sing it with you, but I don't. All right. So, John, I just want to say thank you so much for coming and doing this. I had just a wonderful time. This was super fun. And here we go. Johnny Unicorn playing Science.
Human being without a head for organ transplants, we can travel in machines that take us to where we need to be. Understand that underground overhead, the earth controls us now. Overhead, the earth controls. But given time, the human mind will find a way to get around it now. We'll find a way to get around it now. Don't look now beyond closed eyes. There is no future when you resist one. We can travel with the emotion. A rusty rainbow, a poison spectrum. Understand that underground and overhead, the earth controls us now. Overhead, the earth controls. But given time, the human mind will find a way to get around it now. We'll find a way to get around it now.
Sing with this part. You remember the notes here?
Maybe.
Up a couple of notes there.
Oh, it was so good. And after talking about it and hearing that song, it just touched me. It meant so much. It was so
good. That was
fun.
I think I totally messed up some lyrics.
Did you? I didn't notice.
Yeah. If you know the lyrics that I messed up, please send me an email and I will give you a free prize.
Well, Johnny Unicorn, thank you so much for doing this. It was so great to talk to you. We've never, like, sat down and had a conversation before. I mean, we've hung out so much over the years. We've never just talked about how we feel about life and music. And
not without other people around.
Yeah, it's nice. Never. Yeah. It's great.
I mean, I like having other people around.
Yeah.
I wish Naomi were here specifically for that, especially the song part.
Yeah.
Because she does have some vocals in that part.
She does.
When the two of us play it. And
I will say about Naomi, she's one of my favorite people. And we will definitely have her.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I hope so. She's my girlfriend. We've talked about doing a podcast where we talk about Star Trek Voyager with you and Naomi.
Yeah, and we finished it. We watched that. We watched the whole thing.
You're done. Awesome.
Oh, I loved it.
I have very mixed feelings about Voyager, but I'm so excited to get into that with you.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good conversation.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be so much fun. And Naomi is just like so charming and wonderful, and having her.
She and I have a lot of long talks about what it means to have like a good character and a story and all this stuff. Yeah. And
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that conversation.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. We'll do it in the future.
I hope your listeners enjoy this movie length
feature
podcast. Feature length podcast. Yeah.
When me and Audrey went for 3 hours,
Seriously?
We had to cut it in half.
Okay. So you are cutting stuff.
I might cut stuff. Probably. Yeah. Maybe some of the stuff about drugs in the middle, but we'll see.
I'm totally okay with that. I think you could probably get a really good half hour episode.
Yeah. Or
like a pretty good hour episode.
Yeah. You know, something I like the idea of, like, letting it be, you know?
It's kind
I'm going to cut as little as possible.
Consider cutting, though, because
if
you just present the really good stuff, then it'll be cool. It'll be really cool, you know?
Yeah, totally.
This is what people have been trying to tell me all the time. It's like, don't put out every song that you record. Cut the bad ones. And
I don't know.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. And then I do it, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna release it anyway.
If you think it's good, you should release it, because other people's ideas of what your song, of your bad songs, are not necessarily true. Like, one of my favorite songs ever when I was a kid, when I first started writing music, was called "The Crag," and it was the song in 7. It was really kind of intricate and unique.
What is this?
One of my songs. I played it. The Crag. Yeah. It was about...
Have you ever read the book A Voyage to Arcturus?
No.
Okay. There's a character in that book called Crag.
Okay. It's not about that.
And it's very important. That book is... It's a sci-fi book.
Yeah.
But it's not really a sci-fi novel. It's more of like a... It's like a philosophy text.
Ooh.
It's cool. It's weird.
I'm into that.
It's like a mixture of like a sci-fi story and the Neverending Story.
Ooh.
If you've ever read that book.
I've seen the movie many times. I haven't read
You got to read the book.
Really? The movie is brilliant.
Because the first half is like the movie, and the second half is supposed to be what the second movie is based on. But the second half is like every chapter he goes to like this different place and has to like experience like a different way of understanding the world. And that's a lot like A Voyage to Arcturus, is like every chapter is like the character taking on the tenets of a particular philosophy about whatever, you know.
Wow.
And so in that way, it's not really a story. It's not really an allegory. It's not really a religious thing. It's kind of like a philosophy thing. Sort of.
I'm super into it. I mean, that's why I like Frasier.
But it's a sci-fi story.
Because, like, Frasier is a philosophy show, you know? I love philosophy.
Sure, yeah.
If I were going to pick something besides sci-fi to make a podcast about, it would be philosophy. And as I said before, Frasier.
Frasier is an asshole.
He's an asshole, but it's great.
He's a selfish asshole.
Yeah, that's why that show works, is because he's this guy who's supposed to be this, you know, like, erudite, intelligent, successful... like upper crust person, but deep down he's a dick, you know, because he doesn't understand how he is relating to the world.
Yeah,
and that's beautiful, you know, like the idea. I mean, none of us really understand how we relate to the world, because how are we supposed to know? You'd have to be someone else to understand how you relate to that person,
right?
And it's just physically impossible. And the idea that he is this radio psychologist, you know, who is giving people advice about how to live their lives when his life is a wreck because he doesn't understand how to relate to people. It's beautiful. It's sad. It's just filled with, like, pathos. And
my theory is he's not a good psychiatrist.
I think he is a good psychiatrist.
He always messes up.
I don't think so. I so many times on that show, when people call in, he gives them like wonderful advice, and it's interesting because he can't follow it himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a huge fan of that show. I want to hear you play more music. That was so great. Do you want to play another song?
Sure. All you had to do was ask. Did I do that whole song without a pick? Oh, that's cool. That's,
do you need a pick?
No, that's fine.
I got picks here.
No, I see it. There's a pick right back there if I want it. But it's this is I haven't. I didn't play with a pick until I was 32.
How old are you now?
35. Wow. I played guitar for 16 years without a pick.
Blew my mind. Like at the end of the podcast,
always like this.
You're still blowing my mind.
You see
mind.
What I'm doing right now?
It's a finger. You are like Lindsey Buckingham.
This is what I learned from my dad. This is that was like one of the big things he taught me was, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because picks get lost all the time.
When I was a kid,
play without a pick because you can like really feel the string.
When I was a kid, my guitar was always full of picks. Like, yeah. I just kept dropping picks into the hole in my guitar, and they were just always full.
And you didn't get it out before you started using a new one?
Well, I learned to get them out. I got really good at getting picks out of guitar. I was very proud of myself.
Somebody should.
What are you playing?
Somebody
What's next?
Should invent a way to get a pick out of a guitar.
I've got a good shimmy technique that I could show you.
No, there should be like, what if a pick...
Throw a pick in there. We'll get it out in seconds.
How about a pick with a magnet on it? I don't know how that would affect like pickups, but if you had a pick with a weak magnet on it,
yeah,
it wouldn't matter because it only have an acoustic guitars. A pick with a magnet.
Telekinesis. That's the answer. What's
use
next?
The force.
Use the force, man. Don't be a bitch. Use the force.
His midichlorian count is off the charts.
I want a T-shirt that says "Don't be a bitch. Use the force." That would make me really happy.
Don't use the B word. On a t-shirt. I don't know what I'm playing.
Let's play River Song. I want to sing that with you.
What song?
I
don't want to play a song that that Naomi normally sings on if she's not going to be here.
We could do it again with her and then people would see the difference, how much better it is.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a very selfish person. I want to sing with you.
River Man? Is that the one you want to sing?
No. Cannot hold the river.
Oh, really? That?
Yeah. Well, can we do it without Naomi? I don't know.
Well, she sings the main other harmony.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well, that's the only two songs I got.
Just play me something, and I'll listen to you play. It'll be wonderful.
Okay. I need to come up with something that nobody ever hears me play. That's what I want to do. Maybe something sci-fi.
That'd be great.
Just old enough to speak. It was a message from the ancient ones. We are condemned for the rest of time. From the sky came a burning light. The machines of the gods ablaze. And as you read it in the holy text, his retreat was his only crime. Nebraska, you lent your love to me. Nebraska, Nebraska, I swear I want to be. I set aside all the things I knew. I looked inside for the answers. The only course that remained to me would be the source of the problem. And at the edge of the light we see the sign of the center. It is the center that I seek the center, we are all condemned. Oh, Nebraska, you lent your love to me. Nebraska, Nebraska, I swear I wanna see. I swear I wanna see. Nebraska, you lent your love to me. Nebraska, Nebraska, I swear I want to see. Nebraska, you lent your love to me. Nebraska, Nebraska, I swear I want to see.
Something like that.
You're so good. It was so great. I love that song.
That's, yeah.
I've heard it before. I've never heard you play it, and it was just so great.
That's a song that was I wrote. That was like a love song when I was 18.
Really?
And then I tried to fit it into this sci-fi album, and so I kept the chorus. That's why the chorus makes no sense.
Wow.
Because I like the chorus, but I thought, if I weasel my way around the words enough, I could make it somehow seem like it works with what I'm trying to say. It's all really a charade.
I love it.
When it gets down to it.
It's a great song.
If we're being honest.
It's one of my favorite songs on Angels in the Overcloud, for sure.
That was the first one you mastered.
Yeah, that's right. And I was really excited
when I was like, oh, awesome. This is like super loud and crazy, and this is good. Yeah.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. I love mastering if it gives you the experience of your song that you want. Because your songs sound so great when you send them to me. And it's just, you know, making them, like, as big as possible. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I want to play you a song. I don't know if I'm going to include this on the podcast or not, but I want to play you a song because you played me songs. And it's just, like, really great.
Play me a song on the guitar?
Yeah. I want to play you a song just, like...
Here.
Because I just feel so, like, privileged to sit and listen to you play.
Sucking each other's dicks.
Yeah. Is there a pick over there somewhere?
Yeah.
I play with picks.
Yeah, I know. So do I. Now.
This is going to be the next song I record for the sci-fi album. It's called Cold Dead World.
All right.
This is one of the first ones that I wrote that was just, like, an original sci-fi story. That, like, not based on anything else at all that I'm excited about.
Current cycles through my veins. Visions unbidden sear my circuit brain. I travel far on bursts of light. Behind closed eyes, electric sight. No summer on this cold dead world of mine. Our future. Have I just lost my mind? An azure sky, and I wonder, is this future that I see? Just a message trying to reach me. Quavers of voltage, a sin. Socket, no summer on this cold, dead world of mine. Oh, lovers, bones are all I find. And I wonder, as I slip outside my mind, or have I already died?
Thank
you.
Pretty good. What's the based on?
It's a story I made up about. It's a little long winded. So there's this guy who is electrocuted. He's just like at home, and accidentally electrocutes himself. Because that was one of my biggest fears when I was a kid. But as he is electrocuted, these creatures flood his body that are from another planet. And their planet...
Are they body thetans?
They are definitely, definitely not body thetans. So they flood his body, and they are from a planet that died. They're kind of like hybrid bioelectrical organisms. And they kind of found... They started out, you know, like just biological, but found a way to kind of meld themselves with their electricity, with their technology, which is something that we are now starting to do as humans. But they took it too far and accidentally destroyed their planet because they kind of lost sight of nature, you know? So, kind of touching on what we were talking earlier about the fact that nature will always win.
Right.
If you force nature to lose, everyone loses, right?
Right.
You have to work in concert with that. So these this race did not, and their planet died. And they became purely electrical beings. They lost their biological essence. And they ended up on our planet because they kind of traveled as, like, electrical current through the cosmos.
Right.
Looking for another intelligent life form. And they see us, and they see us kind of going down the same path. So they live in our electricity, and they tried to warn us of what happened to them. So as this character is electrocuted, they flood his body and give him this vision of their planet. And the song is from the point of view of the character as he's having this vision, and he completely misinterprets it. He sees it as this kind of fever dream of this possible future of Earth, but it's really what happened to this other planet that these other creatures are trying to tell him. And he has this vision of this dead planet that he thinks is our future, but then he dies. So the song is like, the song takes place in an instant, you know, as he's flooded with electricity and then his brain turns off.
Shit, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I love that song to pieces. And I'm going to do it with all, like...
It's intense.
All,
it's really, like...
analog synthesizers.
Sad.
And... Yeah, but...
I like it on the acoustic guitar.
There's, like, a catharsis to it. There's this beauty to it.
Yeah.
Something about living on,
you know,
the precipice of life and death is beautiful. And I don't know. I mean...
You should do this song with a string quartet.
Oh, that'd be great.
Imagine that.
Oh, my God. Just like me singing with the string quartet. Yeah. I don't think I could get through the song. I think I would just weep.
Exactly. If you could have a song that like did that, you know.
Yeah.
Which some of your songs do.
Oh, thank you.
Like the E.T. song is really intense.
I love that song. That song is about my dog. Like, I use these sci-fi stories that everyone knows to tell something personal.
Yeah.
E.T. resonates with me because it's about a boy and a creature who doesn't speak his same language that he loves, you know, and who loves him, and he knows that. And there's, man, like, when you love a human, there's just, it's so hard. There's, like, so many questions, and there's so many reassurances that you need. But when you love a dog, and a dog looks at you in the eye, and you love each other... Yeah. It's just perfect. Like, Miles is just, like, sitting right below us right now. You might have heard Miles on the podcast. Like, he was, like...
Right now he's rubbing his head.
He was, like shaking his head earlier and flapping his ears against his skull, and it was making noise. So you might have heard that on the podcast. But when I sat down to, like, write a song... I had this idea to write a song about E.T. because I thought of the chorus, like, Elliot, I feel your pain. Dial up and phone home again, which I just thought was too good to ignore. But when I tried to find an emotional way into that song, it was my relationship with my dog, Miles, that opened that door. And it's why that song has, like, emotional power. It's because I'm singing about, you know, one of the most, like, intense, real, awesome relationships in my life, which is with my dog.
That's great, man.
I think that's what that movie was written about, was about that sort of a relationship with... Like, probably an animal.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to see it again. I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's not a perfect movie. Not like Predator. But but it's great. I mean, my one problem with that movie is the moment where they make you think that E.T. is dead. And he's not.
Oh. Because
that just annoys me, just in general. When they did it in Underworld Evolution, still didn't like it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But besides that movie's great. I mean, one of the best movies, I think, that's ever been made. And it all comes from making this puppet real.
Yeah.
Because the sense of wonder that you get from looking at a puppet and it's real is just incredible.
You know, the sense of wonder I do not get when I see Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Who's not a puppet.
Yeah.
But a CGI character.
Yeah. Question.
CGI does not do it for me.
Did
in
you
a
feel
live
it?
Action setting.
Did you feel it when you watched The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, and you saw Gollum? Did you feel that sense of wonder?
No.
I did.
Gollum was like, guys, he's like moving too smooth, and it's like everything.
Really?
Everything doesn't.
What about when you watched District 9?
I didn't watch District 9.
Watch it.
Really good CGI?
Oh, so good. Oh, so good.
You know who used CGI effectively was. The guy who did the new Mad Max movie.
Yes, absolutely.
There's barely any CGI.
Yeah.
He just used it when it was necessary.
They did.
What he wanted to do.
They did a lot of background replacements.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, which is a great use of CGI.
Yeah.
I mean, CGI is not in itself the enemy. It is what is being done with CGI. Like, the Hobbit movies?
Yeah.
The Desolation of Smaug? I hated that movie. I watched it in a very bad... I was going through some shit when I watched that movie.
No, hold on.
And
did you watch it in 48 frames per second?
No, I watched it on my TV at home.
That's, okay.
I watched The Hobbit in 48 frames, and I liked it. But the first one.
Okay.
But when I watched The Desolation of Smaug...
Is it the second one?
The second one. I haven't even seen the third one yet because I hated the second one so much. It was just like a CGI nightmare.
Yeah.
Nothing felt real. I didn't give a shit about anything that was happening because it was all so fake feeling.
It's not that CGI is bad. It's like if I want to see a cartoon, I'm then show me a cartoon. I like cartoons.
Yeah, if I want to watch Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, I will watch Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
I like that movie.
I haven't seen that movie, but if I wanted to watch it, I would. You know, I didn't watch it because I didn't want to see, like, 100% CGI with a couple real actors. Something about that depressed me, so I didn't go see it. I should see it.
It's a weird ass movie.
I should see it.
It's like alternate history movie.
Oh, cool.
Which is awesome.
I like those. Philip K. Dick wrote some great alternate history stuff.
It's like the 40s, but there's like high technology. You know, it's cool. It's cool.
I'm into that.
I don't know if I'm right about that. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but when I watched The Hobbit, it felt like 100% blue screen, green screen. I mean, that's what I felt when I watched episode 1, 2, and 3. It's just, I don't care when the environments all are obviously not there.
Yeah.
Because the actors don't care. And I can tell.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen didn't look like he cared. Ewan McGregor managed to care. I don't know how he did it, because he's just a brilliant actor.
But he doesn't care, because I've seen interviews. He doesn't like Star Wars.
Have you heard the rumors that he might make more movies as Obi-Wan now that they're making more Star Wars movies? I liked him. I thought he was great. He was like
the best part of those movies.
Absolutely. I was in London with my sister, and
I like Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman was good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I love Natalie Portman.
I liked her in the first movie.
I felt like she was okay, which is a travesty because she's so great. I feel like what she was given to do was so terrible that there's no way she could have been good. But I met Ewan McGregor. I went to see Guys and Dolls in London when I was like 19 years old. And after the show, I went and said hi, and I got his autograph. And
he was in Guys and Dolls?
In London on stage. Who was he? I don't remember. It was so long ago. Like, the main character. He was great. He was amazing. He was so good. It was an incredible experience to see him. It was right after... it was right around the time that Episode 3 had come out, I believe. So, and Episode 3, I think, is slightly redeeming for the series as a whole, for the prequel series. Whatever. Until you get to Darth Vader going no, and then it just all falls apart.
It's the from your point of view, from my point of view, the Jedi are evil. How's that?
You just acted that better than Hayden Christensen. But when I met him, it was a really weird moment because I was just so excited. I was like, I'm meeting Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know.
Yeah.
Because he sold it to me that he was Obi-Wan Kenobi, so I believed that he was Obi-Wan Kenobi. And when I met him, I said the words, "You are my hero," and he looked so uncomfortable.
He probably was.
He probably was, because what a fucking terrible thing to say to another human being that I've never met before.
Oh, that's okay. You're 19, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I had a giant afro, and all I wanted was a picture of me and Ewan McGregor. I handed my camera to my sister. I'm like, no matter what you do, you got to get a picture of me and Ewan McGregor. And I went back after I'd met him and looked at the picture, and it was just my hair. Because I had this giant Jufro, and you couldn't see his face at all. And I was devastated.
You have that picture?
Yeah.
You post it on the internet? Post it on this podcast.
I should.
If you keep this part.
I'll try to find it. Man.
I should probably go home.
Yeah, I gotta go to sleep.
If we're being honest.
Let's call it.
Late.
Let's call it a night.
You probably gotta wake up in the morning.
I do gotta wake up. This was fantastic. Yeah. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Your
singing and playing was incredible. It was very special.
I'm sorry about the lyrics mess ups.
I didn't notice. I didn't care.
Yeah, I don't care. You can keep it.
Yeah. And thank you for letting me sing something for you as well.
It felt very special. Great song.
You killed younglings! All right. Good night.